And we're live.
Thank you all for coming, joining us today on Help Desk Live, episode 5. I can't believe we've done 5 episodes. I am Jen Sheffer, the Instructional Technology Specialist at Burlington High School, and I'm introducing today's hosts, Amit and Nathan. And hopefully everything is going to work well technically. We just lost our picture here from our end, but can you folks still see us?
Yes.
Perfect. We can't see ourselves, so that'll be interesting to see how this comes out. So I'm going to let the students introduce our 3 guests today. So if Nathan wants to start.
I am Jen.
Hold on.
You want to go ahead?
Okay. So, hi, I'm Nathan. I'm a student, a junior at Browns Public High School, and I'm one of the in-house geniuses, as I've been told. Today we have Aaron Maurer. We also have Lisa. How do you pronounce your last name again?
I don't want to botch. Abel Palmieri.
So, say that one more time, please.
It's Abel Palmieri.
Abel Palmieri.
Got it.
And then we have Margaret Powers on the
phone. Yep. Great. So I'm going to just jump right in here and start off by turning it over to Maggie, and if you, the three of you, could actually start off by sharing with us what interested you in using glass, what prompted you to become an explorer, and where you are, first of all, in the world, and what grade level you're using it at, and how exactly you are using it. So if Maggie wants to start, and then we'll jump over to Aaron and then Lisa.
Sure. So I'm at a school outside of Philadelphia, and I submitted to the If I Had Glass contest last spring and was one of the winners. So back in June, I guess I went down to Google's offices in New York to pick up my pair of glass. And I work with pre-K to second grade students as a tech coordinator. So I help integrate technology into the classroom and then work with teachers to think about ways we can use technology in innovative ways. So I use glass with those students and teachers to primarily document learning experiences, kind of capture moments of discovery. And then we've been doing a lot of work actually sharing those moments with other classes around the world. So the classes are partnering with, you know, maybe a class in Singapore and Brazil, sharing some things from a first-person perspective about what they're seeing and doing, and then getting something back in exchange.
Great. We'll go to Lisa. I have you. Nope. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. We'll go to Aaron next. How many cups of coffee have you had, Aaron?
Okay. Oh, geez. Probably 7 or 8 already. It's not even noon yet, so I haven't got my daily dozen in yet.
Nice.
But my name is Aaron Maurer. I go by Coffee Chug Books online. I am a instructional coach for Bettendorf Middle School in Bettendorf, Iowa. First year, in this capacity, in years past, I've worked with Gifted and also taught 6th grade. I have had the Google Glass for a couple months now, and I guess my big thing is, I like to be a boundary pusher, and I like to be the people I get to test out and find things that are good and bad, whether it's Google Glass or any other type of product or idea. Because I think that's the best way to learn, as opposed to always following instructions once people have it figured out, because then I feel it's old news. With Google Glass right now, we're doing a project with my 8th grade students. We are studying the book Physics of the Future, which was published in 2010 by Michio Kaku, and he predicts what life's going to be like in 100 years. And the interesting thing is he predicts wearable tech, and Google Glass has already come to the forefront. So one of his predictions is true. So we're just kind of a hands-on experiment, giving the kids the Google Glass, and I'm not giving them any rules, and we're just figuring it out that way, because I think that's the best way to learn, and they're having a lot of fun with it in the confines of the classroom with the project that we have. And other than that, everything else is just being nerdy with it and seeing how it all works and operates.
Now, I just got to say, being nerdy and no rules, those are two really deadly combinations, right? I love that. Lisa,
yep.
Do you want to share how you're using it?
Sure. Hey, everyone. So I'm Lisa Abel Palmieri from the Ellis School, and we're an all-girls pre-K through 12 school in Pittsburgh, PA. And I'm actually also joined by two students here, Lillian and Julia, who are co-presidents of our Ellis squad. And I guess it would be similar to the help desk at your high school. Mm-hmm. And we've had glass for a few months. We got it right around December. And we're mostly using it in kind of two ways right now. One is to use it with faculty around professional development. So, for example, we have a 3D printer, and we've created some first-person 3D printing tutorials and given those to faculty. But we've also used them as a part of a bigger project for something called our Active Classroom. And we are creating what we're kind of calling lab casts. So our science teachers can use glass to prepare students for labs before the actual day of the lab. So as soon as they walk in, they're kind of ready. And if it's okay, I'd love the girls to just say hi and mention what Geek Squad is.
Hi, I'm Lillian. Geek Squad is similar to the help desk. We're really here to help teachers understand how to use technology in the classroom and answer any questions they have whenever they have them. And we really try to push them to use technology in new ways to make their classroom really innovative.
Yeah, that's a really good synopsis of what we do. We are basically an advisory lab, and we try and think of new suggestions to bring to the table. And yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, that's us.
Great. Do you want to introduce yourself to me? I don't think you had the chance to do that.
My name is Amit Patel. I'm a senior in high school, and this is my second semester doing help desk, so I've done it basically from the beginning of the year to now. In help desk, we basically do the same things. We try to encourage faculty to integrate technology, and the way we kind of do that is we write blog posts on our blog about, you know, the new innovative apps that have been released on the market, and, you know, when teachers come in for help with technology, we also kind of help them in that aspect. And, you know, we also say, oh, you know, maybe you should use this app to help you. And that's how we also get them, like, to be inclined to using technology.
At first, when years prior, when we first got the iPad, there was some resistance. Everyone likes paper and pens. Another thing is the pen is mightier than the sword, per se. So we as help desk students have had to find out apps, figure out ways to integrate technology into the teachers' and students' workflow so that way everyone meshes together and ends up with a, hopefully in a few years, paperless school.
Do you guys want to ask the next question about glass?
Well, I have a question for all three of you guys. Can you tell me, about the same and the innovative ways you guys have been using it besides point of view recording? Has there been anything else besides capturing you guys been using glass?
We've had some of our students checking out the translation app in particular. So one of our students is pretty fluent in German, and so we had her giving us some feedback if the translation application was working pretty well, and she'd given us some pretty good feedback, and we've had some Spanish students checking it out. So with language and the translation app, that's been one that we've tried that isn't other than just point and shoot.
We're talking about using, like, augmented reality. It's sort of more from like a marketing perspective for the school, like do sort of video tutorials and or, you know, little sort of screencasts about like what goes on in different classrooms for visitors. It's not so much for.
I'm just going to take over. How about you, Maggie? Would you like to share some of the other ways you've been using it in the classroom? Because I know you've had it for a long time, and I think I referred to you recently as my glass idol, because you've been just phenomenal in keeping up with the consistency, too, of the posts and sharing that. And you really inspired me to try it with little ones. And I was really fascinated to see how the little ones responded to it in our preschool program that we have here. And for lack of a better term, it was just adorable. I mean, they were real little, and I'm sure you can relate. And they fell off the head of one of the children, and she said, when they fell off, she said, "Oops, Daisy." It was just the cutest thing. I found myself giving them lots of directions and not really being able to sort of just... It seemed like it might have been intrusive with them. I know yours are a little bit older, so could you just share, you know, what you're doing and what maybe some of your goals are for the future with it?
Sure. So, yeah, because of the young ages that I work with, I've been kind of very slow to really try and push anything on them or to really try and explore, you know, too quickly. So it was really important to me to introduce them from the beginning of the year and first just kind of talk about them and show them, and then get to a point where kids feel comfortable with them, just one being in the classroom when I'm wearing them and then when they're using them. And I feel like we're at that point now. It was really exciting. This week, actually, we were collecting questions to ask a new partner class for them in Ethiopia. And, you know, one of their things they wanted to ask them was, well, do they have glass? You know, are they using it to take videos? And I think it just showed that they've really come to see this just another tool in their class that they expect other classes to have. And to, you know, be using it in a way that it's meaningful for them, that they're taking videos, and we talk to them about, you know, oh, it's because we want to document. We've used that word a lot, even in pre-K, you know, with the 4 and 5, saying we want to capture our learning, we want to share it. And so, you know, thinking about what does that mean and how you do it in a way that feels meaningful for the students, where they're saying, oh, I want to capture this here, you know, or I want to share something with someone else, and glass is going to help me do it. And at that young age especially, you know, it helps to not have to be holding and managing a camera or be behind one and really get that perspective. You know, I think in terms of next steps, where two things we're just about to hopefully explore are the translation app. So now trying to translate some of the words in their classroom into other languages that their partners speak, you know, in Singapore and Brazil. And letting them kind of experience a little bit about that. In terms of other apps, it's a little bit challenging because most of the students I'm working with are just starting maybe to read. So, you know, using more of the actual advanced apps is something I would do more on kind of my own personal exploration or with faculty so far. But I'm interested in testing it out a little bit more with Evernote in particular to be able to capture students' work and then send it directly into Evernote to go into a child's portfolio. And I think there's a lot of potential there for glass to become a tool to help compile an e-portfolio for your students or for them to do it themselves, you know, certainly at an older age. And then to see, you know, as more apps are developed and released, looking at how they can assist, you know, us in the classroom to continue capturing learning, but maybe, again, extend it. So, you know, having, I think, those live hangouts is an interesting question because I think some people have kind of tried them out and found that if you're going somewhere and you do a live hangout with someone, you know, the experience might not be much different than if you were just holding up a camera. And then sometimes it's because of hangout connections and things, it's actually not as meaningful because you lose it and that kind of thing. So where I see the most potential is actually the reverse, where a child is in the middle of working on something. They're trying to, you know, create a box from hand, you know, out of wood, or they're trying to saw something, or they're trying to do something that's a kind of new skill, and it's one that might take some expertise, where they can have someone kind of have come in via Google Glass and be able to see what they're seeing and watch with them and be a hand to kind of help them and guide them along, where the teacher might not have that expertise or knowledge about, you know, even as you get older, you know, we're working with Raspberry Pi, where do I plug this in, how do I do this, you know, if you have kind of that expert on your shoulder almost, like, you know, right there with you, seeing what you're doing, I think there's a lot of potential for Glass with that.
Great. Do you guys have a question about robotics that you wanted to ask about that?
So, reading up on all three of you, we know that there's a big pull on STEM education. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Amit and myself are on our high school robotics team, FRC team 2876, the Devil Bots. And we actually did well in our past competition. Do you guys think that Google Glass will be a big role in STEM education going forward?
I'll jump in here. I don't know that. It's kind of hard to tell how big Google Glass is going to be. I think the bigger picture discussion should just be wearable tech in general, because it might be Google Glass. It might be your ID cards that you're asked to wear to school. Who knows what the wearable tech is going to be, but the reality is that it's going to be here. And it's going to be here much sooner than I think people anticipate once things start going public and that kind of fear eradicates a little bit. In terms of robotics, something that I'm working on right now, if I can tilt my screen without giving you guys motion sickness. So we've been developing a robot. We have, I don't know if you can see it, but we've got a 4-foot robot. And what our plan is right now, once we figure out how to code it, is my Google Glass is going to be on the face of our robot, and we're going to stream that through our smart board screen. And that robot, through manipulation of our smart board screen as remote control and using the vision of the Google Glass, is going to deliver coffee to teachers. So that's the project that we're working on.
And I have vanilla
and, latte. Yeah.
Hot espresso.
Yeah. So I think the conversation there is it's one more sensor, it's one more addition on to everything else that is becoming readily available to students to truly build, code, learn, whatever it might be. And it's just really exciting for kids. I mean, the fact that I have the Google Glass and I tell the kids, we're going to put this on the robot, you know, it kind of fires them up because they're kind of tired of the same old sensors. They're kind of tired of the same old kind of ball and chain things. You know, you run out of so many ideas once you've, I guess, been working with me for some of these kids for 4 or 5 years. You know, there's only so much knowledge in this bald head of mine. So that is what I see coming down the pipeline, whether it's Google Glass or something else, you know. But it's definitely going to play a role in some capacity.
So, I mean, I would say that we also have an FRC robotics team, Girls of Steel. Not sure if you guys have heard of them before.
I love that name.
Yes, all girls team. And Ellis, the Ellis School has the most students on the team. It's actually based out of Carnegie Mellon University. And I would say that we haven't used Glass there yet. However, even just kind of brainstorming right now in this Help Desk Live makes me think about it, guys. Like, you could use it, actually, if you were one of the drivers. And you could get kind of this first person of, like, what did I do when I was driving, you know, and kind of get that performance feedback. So that could be a really interesting idea. We haven't explored it yet, but I like it, so thanks for the idea. As far as using them in STEM, we are using Glass right now primarily in STEM in our high school with teachers that are creating these lab casts, as I mentioned earlier. And I'm actually going to let Lillian talk about it a little bit. We talked earlier about how seeing this lab cast could help.
So I thought that the lab cast was really interesting because it was such a first-hand experience. It really made it feel personal, and I know that a lot of the teachers at our school aren't too great with technology yet, so I think that could be really beneficial if they could see, like, what they will be seeing. So I really liked it. I think it has a lot of potential.
And if I could just jump in the science area, I brought Glass to an anatomy class, and they happened to be performing a dissection that day on cats. So I'm not going to be broadcasting that video on a public forum for all to see. It was rather graphic, but the students were completely, you know, fascinated by it. And I didn't watch that video myself too closely because I did, you know, that... I was a little bit squeamish about it, but it caused so much excitement. I think, Aaron, you said how the students get excited. And every classroom that I have brought Glass into, I mean, the students are immediately curious, and they all, you know, want to try it, and, you know, can I try that, can I try that? I brought it into a social studies classroom, and they were performing a mock trial, and they had... one of the attorneys, one of the students that was the prosecutor, put the Glass on and was cross-examining one of the witnesses, so we got to see that from her perspective, and that was really neat. We actually tried it with an art student who was drawing a model, and the teacher really wanted to observe the way, the technique that the student was using to approach the drawing, and so... like you said, it's a slow process, and it does push you to think creatively about, you know, how and why would I use this? Because if we can use the iPad or the iPhone to record, then it's not a good tool. So I know that my wheels are turning, and that's why I'm trying to connect with other educators, because we do have a pair, and I want to try to keep him in the high school, but I know there's some other tech integrators here at, in the district that want them, so once they get them, I won't see them probably for months and months. So I'm going to see if Amit has a question for our panel, because I know he is one of the, hopefully a future app developer for Glass. He did a project earlier in the fall semester, and we asked him, you know, if when you go off to college next year, would you want to own a pair of Google Glass? Because I'm sure, as you all know, they've been receiving a lot of scrutiny in the mainstream media about the way they look, and about the way people react to people wearing them. So Amit said, yes, I do want them. I would want them. And we said, why? And he said, because I want to develop apps for them. So I thought that was a great answer to that question. So I don't know if you want to talk or ask a question or share your perspective when you wore them. Or
I was going to ask, how are students kind of reacting to Glass? Are there some students who initially are kind of abstaining from Glass and maybe later they enjoy Glass? Or maybe there's some students who are still kind of on the fence about whether they like it or not?
I'll jump in because I've been giving the glasses to my students and just various kids within my school. And so we ran a thing where in the mornings I just turn the glass on and I give them a quick little rundown of the glass and I say, go take it and just bring it back in an hour or after first period. And it's interesting once they get over the kind of the fanfare that they actually have Google Glass on their face and they start to forget that it's on. When you go back and watch those videos, their feedback and their responses, the first 5 minutes, it's a lot of picture taking of their friends and high fives and whatnot, which is expected. But once it gets going, you're getting perspective from all over, which I would think that everybody would think it'd be great. I guess it's because I think everybody would think like me. But I've had several students throughout there go, I don't like this. I don't want this on my face. I don't want people to see what I'm looking at. I don't want people to see what I'm talking about. And it's almost like they feel like they have to conform to this idea of what we want to see as teachers as opposed to just being authentic. And so a couple of things, I co-teach in some classes, and I'll give the Google Glass and say, I just want you to wear them. And I don't care if you lose focus. I want to see the classroom environment from a student vision. And when you get that, it's real interesting to see what happens. So
my students are all pretty young, so there's pretty much just excitement around it, but I have run into some students across my grades who feel just really shy about using it, and I think that's actually a great opportunity for them to kind of build their voice in a more of a safe space where they're not necessarily literally in front of an audience, but they know that what they're creating will be shared later. So it's kind of a coaching process there of thinking about what do we want to say and how can we use, you know, a strong voice to communicate it. So it's that kind of feeling, though, of being in front of people and in an audience that some of my students have a little bit of pushback at, but no one has really felt like, you know, I don't want to touch those, I don't want to use them. And I think part of it is how it's just how they've been presented as, you know, a tool for capturing learning mostly here. And I think, you know, my students aren't as much concerned about the privacy feelings or those things that you run into as you grow older, obviously. And also, as we keep going, I'd be interested to hear parents' reactions that everyone has had, because I think that's another area where there's obviously a lot of concern.
You just actually mentioned something I was thinking, especially with the little ones, is the privacy issue with parents. I even noticed, though, at the high school, Aaron, you had just mentioned a few students who said, I don't want to wear this, I feel like this is intrusive. I had some students first semester, some of Nathan and Amit's colleagues here at the help desk who actually wear glasses, and they didn't really care for glass. And honestly, for me, also wearing them, I tried to document myself teaching one of my classes, and I became so overly self-conscious that it was capturing everything that it just wasn't authentic, and it was almost like, Aaron, what you're saying, all the students, you know, what does my teacher want to see? I felt that they were very intrusive, so for me, I would have to spend a lot of time with them to feel comfortable, and I wear contact lenses, and so I don't even feel comfortable wearing my prescription lenses when I do sometimes. So it's that comfort, and it is, you know, that feeling. It's, there's something on my face. But interestingly enough, there was a few students who, when glass was brought into their science classroom, they said, "What is that? You know, glass, what's it doing, recording a video? Well, I don't want to be in the video." There were some students, and I don't think it mattered that it was glass. They just don't want to be recorded on any type of device. So I think there's a lot of discussion going forward about the privacy issues. Is, you know, will there be any for us? You know, so I think that's not just an issue that we're going to deal with in education, but I think it's society in general. So it's, but I'm fascinated by it, and I know you all are also, and. Like, you know, Maggie says, it's a tool that has some really interesting potential, and the tinkering. Aaron, I think I saw one of your videos where students were experimenting with clay creations. Is that right? Did I see? Could you speak to that?
We were messing with the squishy circuits, which is just conductive Play-Doh, where you can power motors and LED lights. And so... I had presented to teachers in my district actually just Wednesday to get them thinking about tinkering. And so I just shot some Google Glass video of my preparation, and then I've got some stuff I still need to load up of the day with the teachers actually making and building and stuff. And it's a very interesting concept, you know. And if I could jump back to that privacy piece, I think that's going to be a hot topic. But the best thing when I have parents question me on it or net discussions come up, I said it's no different than me walking around with my cell phone with record all day long. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not some scary device. It's, you know, I can't see in your pockets. I can't read your credit card information. All it is just for the 90% of people, they're just taking pictures and recording video, which is what our phones have always done. And the other thing I see is, you know, a lot of parents will argue the privacy piece. And I say, well, then, are you okay with the fact that the people who broadcast their children more than anybody in the world are parents? They say, on average, by the time a kid is 5 years old, they'll have 3,000 images online of themselves due to their parents and family posting pictures. And so the biggest advocacy for privacy really is teachers and educators, because there's so many gaps and or not gaps, excuse me, but so many levels we have to go through to make sure that what we're doing is okay, so we don't lose our own jobs, you know. And sometimes I'm like, just take a step back and look at yourself, and if you're probably broadcasting more information than what you realize about your own children, you know, and obviously you have to adhere to the parent piece, but I think that self-awareness of how much we push sometimes loses way, because we get scared thinking this glass with the camera on it all of a sudden is going to destroy the family or the kid.
Right.
I just wanted to add that, you know, you mentioned cell phones. I was trying to jump in there because we created a cell phone policy here a couple of years ago. You know, we really believe in the opportunity for students to use mobile devices in class. And what we did is we created cell phone free zones. I kind of feel like those cell phone free zones would be the same as with class. I mean, you're not going to. If there's a policy at the school that you're not going to use the glass in class without a teacher's permission, you're not going to use them in restrooms, you're not going to use them in the locker room, I feel like our cell phone policy that we created would work pretty much exactly well for a glass. So if your school has one or you don't have one yet, I think that at least ours would be pretty applicable for glass as well. I wouldn't see really any difference.
Yeah, you just made a statement that prompts my last question, because unfortunately I'm looking at the time and it's already past 12. I could talk all day about different educational topics with you folks, but you said, Lisa, if you have glass, I just got another invitation come through. I haven't told anybody that yet, but and I would love to buy my own chair personally, but the budget doesn't allow for that right now. But if districts are thinking about purchasing it, is it worth it? Is it worth the investment based on your experience and knowledge of the device? So I know a lot of schools are struggling with that question, and, you know, what would you recommend? So I guess I'll start with Maggie on that one.
I think it depends on your specific context. You know, if you're at a place where you're struggling to get, you know, a great playground or, you know, other kind of materials, I'd say it wouldn't trump that. I mean, if you're at a place that you have enough resources, it's that you could probably make this purchase and it's not going to take away from other things, then, you know, I found a lot of value in it, and I think it has a lot of potential. I think there's a lot that's going to keep changing as the hardware gets updated and the apps develop, or there might be even more potential down in the future, and you could, you know, whether you wait a little while to get it or you get it now, I think that's an interesting question. But I think I have found a lot of value with it, and I think my students have, so I think, you know, I would give it a thumbs up for that.
I had a feeling you might say that. Lisa?
You know, I kind of come from the same place as Maggie on that. If there's other things that have a priority that you really need, go for it. For us, we really have an investment in blended learning, and the flipped classroom is an innovative pedagogy at our school. And so since the flipped classroom is something that we are trying to explore to create more active and student-centered experiences, for us, it was a good investment. So if your school is looking to maybe even infuse some new innovative pedagogies and approaches, then I say go for it.
Great advice. And Aaron, you have the last comment.
Yeah.
After our bell.
There you go.
We have that bell going off.
Yeah, I think just to piggyback off them, it does depend on the school. Like in my case, the glass came from my own endeavors and not the school, so to speak. And so I think if you're one of those school districts, I know sometimes you get the okay, but it's a one-shot deal. If you get the glass, that's what you're stuck with. I would almost tell people to wait until the final, well, not the final, but the public one goes, because I have a feeling what we have now is going to be revamped quite a bit based on all the feedback that Google's getting. And so that means waiting 5 months, you wait 5 months. However, if you're one of those school districts or schools that are looking to be cutting edge and have no problem investing now and investing more later, then I say absolutely go for it and, you know, be that pioneer, because I think all that does is brings more positive ideas, thoughts, development, conversations like this to you, and it keeps you, I don't want to say one step ahead, but it keeps your brain thinking of, okay, what can I do next, what can I do now, you know, and just talking and hearing you guys talk about Google Glass and made some notes and stuff that I want to go and say, oh, I haven't tried that, I want to look at that angle of stuff, and that's what it's about. And so if you have the okay, go with it. If people are on the fence, I say wait till it goes public where it's supposed to be cheaper. It'll probably be better than what we have. We're going to go, how do we get that now?
Great. You guys want to wrap it up?
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today, Friday, March 7th, on Help Desk Live, Episode 5. Thank you to our viewers for watching.
And Amit, would you like to say any final words?
And next week, we'll be discussing social media and education. We'll be with two other students, Paige Woodard, who's a student in Don Wetrick's innovation class, and Sam Bresnahan, who's a current freshman at Bentley University.
And I would just like to say to Lisa, Maggie, I'm not sure if you have any second graders who are on a tech team or pre-K students.
Not yet.
I'm surprised. Get on that, would you? and Aaron, this is going out to you too. What I would love to see, and I've talked to sort of my hangout on air, he's an expert, Nilo. He'll deny that he is, but he really is. I would love to see the students running the show from start to finish, you know, identifying the guests and having their conversations. So Lisa, if you want to you know, talk with me later, there's a lot of tech teams like this out in the country from all different grade levels, and I think there's a lot of power in facilitating these kinds of conversations and, you know, a lot of skills that can be developed for the students. So let's talk, you know, off air, behind the scenes, and maybe we could set something up for the spring.
Maybe like a Tech Team Tuesday?
Sure. He's already got his ideas.
We'll hang out for 10 slots.
So we'll be brainstorming, and we'll follow up with all of you. But thank you so much. It's definitely not enough time, but I really want to thank you all, and thank you to the students. It was great meeting you. And I look forward to continued conversations on Twitter and through blogging and Google+. So we're going to end today's show and have a great weekend.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.